It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show National Edition. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. And in a few minutes, we'll welcome in Eddie Olchuk. Just give me a chance. Just give me a chance. TNT tonight.
Good game, right? He's got, was it Boston, Edmonton?
Boston, yeah. Versus the Oilers.
Ooh,
now, doozy. Are we under the impression that Boston is who they were last year and this year, and now they're just going through a little bit of a funk, or maybe a little more concerned about holding on to a top spot in the Atlantic?
Well, as things currently stand, the Boston Bruins are slated to face the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round. Mm. And I wouldn't say Leafs fans are as fear-filled as they would have been previous matchups, right? This Bruins team lost a ton of players in the offseason. We're really held together by spectacular goaltending for the first few months. They've been struggling for a little bit here. Just four wins in their last 10 games. They have been passed by Florida for first in the Atlantic Division, and yeah, I think they're a step back from where they've been.
It is kind of remarkable, though, that we thought with the loss of Patrice and Krejci that there was going to be this major drop-off.
Yes.
Like, how can you not? Well, this guy goes from winning the Selke every year for half his career to gone.
No Bergeron, no Krejci, no Taylor Hall, no Nick Foligno. I mean, there's like seven players, if you go through the whole list, that were pretty important players that they just didn't replace.
They're not the Bruins that the Leafs have lost to in the first round.
No. They can still do that.
Oh, without question.
But they're not the same. And most likely will.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say most likely, but there's a pretty good chance. Yeah. But yeah, it's tough, though, that the Leafs are playing along at 10 o'clock, too, because it'd be a great after option where you watch Foley's game and you put that. So it's a flick back option for you.
Yeah.
Between the two late games.
Couple of good late ones tonight anyway. Ooh, and we have Eddie O.
Okay, let's welcome him in. He wanted a chance. We're giving him a chance. He says, just give me a chance. It's Eddie O.
Give me a chance!
Barney, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well.
I'm
great
here,
to
too.
See
Ed Zoe, I'm here, too.
I know. Who canceled on you today, Kipper? That's what I want to know. Go pull me out of the bullpen again.
Buddy, you text me yesterday, and then the red light went on, and I'm like, we're getting Eddie O tomorrow, teeing up the big Oilers-Bruins game. He's sitting in his hotel room. Did you finish shopping? Did you go to the mall? Did you ride a roller coaster, Edzo, at the mall?
No, I'm not good. I'm not good on roller coasters, Kipper. I'm soft. I've always been soft. I'm not embarrassed to say that. I don't need a roller coaster. I got enough roller coaster in my life, and let alone go on some ride that probably would get stuck if I ever got on a roller coaster.
Nice. Well,
but good to see you guys. I hope you're well.
Yeah, we are, right? Pal. And you're kind of teeing up a game that, you know, if both teams found themselves in a Stanley Cup final, would we be overly surprised? Or, you know, at this point of the season, is it more unlikely? What are your thoughts about the game tonight?
I think it's got a chance to be a heck of a game. I think it's going to be very entertaining. I think both teams certainly want to be better defensively here recently. I know when the Oilers went on their, what was like a 50-game winning streak, whatever it seemed like, it just seemed like it was forever. They won every game, and they were only giving up, two or less, I think, in, you know, more than half the games that they won on that incredible streak. But I think recently here, and just being around both teams this morning, I mean, I think both sides would like to probably be a little bit better defensively here than they had the last couple of games. But if it isn't, it's probably okay for us because we're doing a game down here on TNT in the States. And, you know, could we have a 5-4, 6-4 type of game, 6-5? Yeah, I mean, I could see it. And both teams are going to generate. Both teams are going to give up chances. And whether or not the goaltending cooperates on either side, that will probably be the determining factor. So I think it should be one hell of a game here in Edmonton tonight.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I'm trying to get a sense for what to make of this Oilers team in terms of, you know, Stanley Cup contending legitimacy. You know, they had their terrible streak and then their great streak. They've been kind of on and off. You know, they've added Corey Perry. Not sure how you feel about that addition farther down the lineup, but where do you feel like this team is? It wasn't hard a few weeks ago to be like, maybe they're the best team in the NHL, but maybe that's a bit high praise for them.
Yeah. Well, I would say that I think for Edmonton, if they are going to make a run, and when you look at what they've been able to do here, you know, why wouldn't they be able to go on a run or a heater? I mean, the West, you know, I think through Vegas, if they could ever get healthy, you know, I mean, I know they lost last night to Nashville, but I still think, and I know Mark Stone got hurt. I didn't see if they're, you know, what the reports were today, but, you know, he didn't finish that game last night. And I still think that I believe the West still goes through Vegas, but you could make a case for Vancouver. You could make a case for Winnipeg. You could certainly make a case for Edmonton, Dallas, right? I mean, Dallas is probably going to do something on the back end and try to bolster up their defense a little bit. And getting back to Edmonton, Borny, I would wonder, and I guess I would ask you guys, is would it be fair to say that they might be in the market for, I don't know, maybe another top six forward if they can somehow, you know, figure that out when it comes to the gymnastics of the salary cap? Like, I think to me, if you can push down the depth or push down players maybe into their depth, which is probably one of the biggest question marks that they have on the back or up front on their bottom six, if you can add another guy like, you know, a top six guy, then all of a sudden it'd be like now they can play with anybody and not have to count on just Connor and Leon and you know what Hyman brings, and you know when Kane is really playing, like, he's such an effective player. So long-winded, I would say that, you know, why can't they? It seems like the defense is playing the best that they've played in a long, long time. And yes, you have to give Coach Knobloch a lot of credit, but I don't think you can underestimate the impact that Paul Coffey has had on this blue line and these guys, and in getting them to really buy in. And I had a great conversation with Coff today, and you know, I think he believes in challenging guys, but I think he really feels there's a healthy competitive balance there, and the guys push one another, and I think it's showing up here. And when you look at Ekholm and Nurse, really, the you know, those guys are kind of the glue guys on their back end. And when those guys are playing well, it seems like the Oilers play well. And, you know, you probably camouflage a lot of deficiencies that you might have is when you can really play well without the puck. And I think that's one thing that this team has been able to prove is that they can win low-scoring games. And they're better defensively than maybe everybody thought they were earlier in the season. And the numbers probably bear that out.
Were you able to get a smile out of Coff at all, or just a chuckle or something that...
Is he a serious guy?
He showed that he's enjoying himself?
Oh, he is... Anytime I'm around him, I'm always smiling because he's smiling and he's laughing and talking about the old days and him standing behind the bench. And look at, like... He's been around this team for a while, right? You know, whatever the role was for him as an advisor or whatever it was. But he has, I think he's got obviously tremendous respect from everybody inside that room. But I think that's probably helped him in this position where he's had relationships with a lot of guys. And, but I think he's loving it. He is. I mean, I just feel, you know, feel the passion and feel the ability to be able to help make a difference. And, you know, the one thing he told myself and Johnny Forslund and Jackie Redmond this morning when we had our little, you know, little greet with Coff was that he, like, hey, look at, like, mistakes are going to happen, right? Like, you know, you're a defenseman and game, you know, you're going to make mistakes and the puck's going to end up in your back of your net. But, you know, it's almost like a reliever. And these are my words, not his, but it's almost like a reliever in baseball. It's like, look, you're going to give up one in the bottom of the ninth and you're going to lose the game, or you're going to give up a game tying run. Okay, well, what's your next shift? What's your next pitch? What's your next inning? And I think when you have that, obviously the resume of Paul Coffey, but then also the ability to be able to let your defenseman know and just say, hey, look at, like, you know, I'm going to make a mistake. It's okay, but, you know, we're going to learn from it. So I think I think he's loving it, Kipper. I really do. Yeah. He's obviously he's done a really, really good job with the core guys that they have on this team and get a chance to really help mold these guys and look at who is better offensively and be able to see and read and be in every situation than a guy like Paul Coffey. So I'm happy for him, and he's doing a great job.
No question. We're talking to Eddie Olchuk, Stanley Cup champion, top hockey analyst in Edmonton, teeing up the Bruins and the Oilers on TNT. Edzo, we were having a conversation on how wide open we think this season is for a potential Stanley Cup win. And, you know, we just watched Vancouver lose 3 games in a row, I think, for the first time all season. We're seeing Boston lose, 4 out of 5? And we're just wondering how active, if it's as wide open as we might think, will be the trade deadline come March 8th.
Yeah, I think it is wide open. I mean, I would say in the Eastern Conference that, to me, without hesitation, is the Florida Panthers. Like, they just are a machine right now, and they've got it going on. I saw them, I don't even know what days it is, but I saw them play Pittsburgh recently. That's all I know. And, they've got it going on, right? Like, they can play any way you want. And Bob is, you know, obviously the goaltending is very good. They're playing very well defensively. If you want to play a 7-5 game, they'll be more than happy to play that type of game. If you want to play a 2-1-3-2 type of game, they can play that. And if you want to go ahead and get down and dirty, Kipper and Borney, they're willing to go ahead and do that too. So to me, I think in the Eastern Conference, barring any injuries or, you know, anything like that, I don't know what you guys think, but I think it is the Florida Panthers right now and everybody else. Like, it'll be interesting to do what the Rangers did. I did the Rangers Islanders game, the stadium series at MetLife on Sunday. And, you know, when you look at Panarin and Zibanejad and Kreider and Fox on the back end, it looks like Shesterkin has kind of found his game. I would look at the Rangers, I think, being very active, because I still think that they need some help at the center ice position and, you know, maybe another D-man on the back end. There's no reason why the Rangers can't, you know, to make another run. So I look at those two teams and go, would I be surprised if either one of them is in the cup final? No, I would not. But I think it is about matchups. It is about staying healthy. And, you know, maybe who's the team that steps up and makes a big move at the deadline. And all of a sudden the New Jersey Devils acquire Jacob Markstrom or, you know, some kind of a move like that, where all of a sudden a team gets in and you sit there and go, yeah, you know, like, you got to play who you got to play, but that's a much different team if you can add a huge piece. So I would say it's the Florida Panthers and everybody else right now in the East.
Yeah, the Markstrom and Devils thing is really looming. So that Devils team seems like, there's a lot there for their lack of success. You know, the team going up against the Oilers in your game tonight, Boston, You didn't mention there, the Leafs looking to them going, God, are we going to draw the Bruins as a first-round opponent yet again? They didn't fall off as quite as much as we thought they would to start the season, kind of struggling a bit more of late. You know, where do you slot them in compared to the previous version of the Bruins, which had 136 points or whatever it was last year?
Yeah. I mean, I heard you guys talking. I mean, just with the losses that they had, I mean, you're not going to, you're going to take a hit in every aspect of your team is when you lose the, you know, forget the leadership and the all-worldness of Patrice Bergeron, but, you know, David Krejci coming back and be able to make plays through the middle of the ice. And you're probably, you're playing guys probably more than you should in certain spots. And guys are elevated into roles. And, you know, you make some moves, you bring some guys in. And, you know, look at it, is Donnie Sweeney and Cam Neely, are they, you know, would they like to add, a piece or two for, yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt, but, you know, I think when you look at the goaltending there, I mean, that's the one thing you could really lean on, Borney. And like the Bruins, like, I think they're very comfortable in playing in those lower scoring games. Mm-hmm. But, you know, do they have enough help there with Marchand and Pastrnak and, you know, with Charlie McAvoy on the back end? So, you know, can they defend as well as they've done in the past? Yeah, they've been going through a tough time here. But, I think any time that the Bruins get in, you know, I still think that they would be they're going to be a tough out just because of the guys in goal and, the difference makers that they do have. And, you know, maybe, you know, maybe you just find different ways to, you know, to win, and you don't have to, you know, Patrice Bergeron wasn't going to be there forever, and Krejci, you know, being there and then leaving and then eventually coming back. So, you know, I like the Bruins team, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they do with guys that they have are unrestricted, and then what they do, you know, as far as cap space and everything else. Lindholm is not here. He is not. That was a, you know, he got hurt in their last game. So that's obviously a big void for them, you know, right now, because, you know, I don't think he's played as well as he did last year or when he came the year prior at the trade deadline. But, you know, if you can, you know, if you can run out Lindholm on, you know, on one set of D and then have, you know, McAvoy come out, I mean, they're in a pretty good spot when it comes to the guys on the back end. So, yeah, there's some holes, but, you know, every team has holes. And, you know, can you just be able to plug them enough to give yourself a chance to win around and move on? So it'll be interesting to see how the Bruins, you know, play down the stretch and then into, you know, into the trade deadline and then obviously in the playoffs.
Eddie, you got tonight Connor McDavid. So plenty of greatness in your hockey game tonight. Just recently with another back-to-back hat trick for Austin Matthews. It seemed just prior to that, he was kind of on the outside looking in when you thought about an MVP type of year.
Not anymore, Kipper. Not anymore.
Right not there anymore. Right there with Nate and Connor Kucherov. And
Kucherov. Yeah, 100%. 100%. Look, if this guy, that being obviously Austin Matthews, if he scores 70, you'd be hard pressed not to give him the MVP. I don't, you know, look at when's the last time we had one? Early 90s?
Yeah, I think 93 or something like that. It's been a long time.
Yeah. McGillney.
Regardless of what Nate and Connor end up, like, would they have to kind of pull back a little bit here for you? Or just well, look, no, I mean, the number 70 talking, wins?
Yeah, look at your... I mean, those three guys, I mean, look, we know what Connor is. We obviously we know that. I mean, he's, you know, he's the greatest right now. But guys are having unbelievable seasons in Kucherov, right? I mean, Kucherov's got 33, 34, whatever the number is, points ahead of, I think it's Braden Point the last time I checked. But, I mean, that is like, that's large without a doubt. And McKinnon is obviously, you know, he's played on a whole nother level and we know how great he is. But when I think when you look at the year, and if you took, I think if you took Austin Matthews out of the lineup for the Toronto Maple Leafs, would they be in the playoffs?
They would not.
I would argue that they would be a bubble team.
Yeah.
25% of the goals.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, I guess you could maybe argue that, you know, you could probably argue that with obviously Kucherov. You could argue that obviously with Connor, but you still have Leon. And you could argue that with McKinnon because you still have Rantanen and Makar. So I think the team that would take the biggest hit out of those four guys we're talking about would be the Leafs. Now that's just my opinion. And when you start talking about how many, I mean, 70 goal scorers in the history of the game.
Handful. I mean,
you're talking Espo, you're talking Gretz, you're talking Mario, you're talking Solani, you're talking Brett Hull three different times. Right? I mean, McGillney, like Solani, like these are, like, it doesn't happen. So if he gets 70, I would, like, I don't, you know, I don't, I, if I had a vote and he gets 70 goals, all due respect to everybody else, but look at, I would give it to Austin Matthews if he scores 70 goals because we don't see this very often. Like, I guess we just expect him to score 70 goals. Well, you know, he's had an unbelievable, and he, you know, I hope he gets his 50th and at home in front of his family and friends and, you know, in Arizona and what have you. But I don't know what you guys think, but I think if he gets 70, he would have my vote, and all due respect to everybody else in the years that they have.
For sure. Yeah, no, I feel the same way. We were having a conversation in our first hour about trying to get some help for the Leafs' top guys at the trade deadline here, and they don't have a ton of assets. One thing they do have is this Easton Cowan, who is, you know, Sam McKee says he's the best player in the OHL this year. You know, he's been spectacular for them. Where do you sit on the idea of trading someone who looks like a surefire good NHLer now to get someone for, you know, a maybe team like the Leafs, saying that maybe they're the 10th best team in the league. Do you think it's worth the risk to trade a player, a young potential star, to get help for a guy like Matthews now?
Yes. Because there are no guarantees. I think there are no guarantees, right? I mean, yeah. they're expected to, at least, I mean, again, on the outside looking in, I don't know what Chani or Trees or anybody, you know, on the inside, what's the, you know, the end game here. But I'm sure for the fan base, it's like this isn't about, you know, this isn't about next year, yeah. I mean, or 2 years from now. Like, it's like, okay, you know, the sand in the hourglass is dwindling here. And if we can add, you know, whomever that might be, and we think that we can get to the conference finals, and then you never know from there. So, you know, all teams are built differently. And everybody has different philosophies, but if you got a chance, you can bolster up the team. I would say, let's go for it.
Two names I'll give you. Joe Nieuwendyk.
Is he available?
Jerome Iginla.
Sorry. What about them? Deadline moves?
Joe Nieuwendyk moves from Calgary to Dallas. They win the Stanley Cup. Iginla goes in, has a Hall of Fame career in Calgary. No one regretted that trade.
I like that. That works. You happy with that, Edzo?
Remember that one, Edzo?
Hey, yeah, that's right in our wheelhouse, Kipper. That is, those guys are right,
yep.
Right smack dab in our era. And look at, I would, you'd be all in. Like, you push your chips all in. Like, it's really interesting, like, when you think about it. But, like, I know Pittsburgh did not come up here, but boy, oh boy, like, somebody's going to get Jake Guentzel. And this yeah. guy's numbers in the playoffs are just like, Borny, you know, like, his numbers in the playoffs are just like, I mean, they're Hall of Fame like that's fact. Like, when you look at what he's done in the playoffs, and he can get healthy again and whatever, like, and he's going to get paid. He's going to get fresh powder next year, and rightfully so. And, you know, is he going to be 9+? Is he going to be 10 million? I have no idea. I know he's a little bit older, obviously, than Willie Nylander, but like, he's proven that he is a big time player and super intelligent, IQ off the charts. And be really interesting to see what Kyle Dubas does in Pittsburgh, because I think moving forward, because look at, they're a bubble team. They have been a bubble team. If they don't make it again, they're not making a playoffs next year either. Mm-hmm. So like, I think anything is on the table in Pittsburgh. I mean, that's the way I would handle it. I think that's the way that you have to look at it and go, hey, we don't make it again. Like, look, they haven't won a round in, since what, 18?
It's been a while now. Yeah, it's true.
They haven't got past the first round, I think, since 18. So wow. Yeah. My quick math tells me that's a lot of playoffs. That's this is a run and a half here where they're not used to this in Pittsburgh. So where does Guentzel end up, and what happens in Pittsburgh moving forward if they don't make the playoffs for the second straight year?
Okay, Edzo, one more, and I'm going to let you go because I know you got a lot of prep work for Boston Oilers tonight for TNT, and that is the Ovi question, because he scored 2 last night. He's got 18, but 8 of them in the last 8 games. So writing off Ovi a little quick for some.
Wait, say that again, Kipper?
Ovi. 2 goals yeah. last night. He's got 16, yeah. but 8 of them in the last 8 yeah. games. And I'm okay. just wondering if some were ready to write this guy off.
No, I don't think so. I mean, why? I mean, every great player, every goal scorer goes through stretches where it's not happening, right? And think about it. He plays every power play. He plays probably 85% of every power play. He's going to get his looks, and he's on a heater now, and he's going to go on another heater before the end of the year, and then he's going to go on one next year. It's just the way that it is. I mean, so, yeah, where there's some people thinking, well, you know, like, he's going to only get maybe 12 this year, and he might only get 15 next year, and he's still going to be, you know, 30 shy of Gretz or whatever the number is, like, this guy's a goal scorer. And look at what's going to go is the body and the feet before the hands do. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Like, that's just the reality of it. That's what goes for all the great goal scorers. Like, your hands are always going to be there and you're always going to be able to score. It's not whether or not you can just get there enough and get there is like you used to. But for Ovi, he's fine. He's fine.
I know we're letting him go. I just want to fill you in, Edzo. He's actually been on the ice for 96.1% of the Capitals' power play time. 96.1. Okay. Not a joke.
Okay. Well, is that 96% Canadian? I was doing the U.S. equivalent.
Yeah, that's with the exchange rate, yeah.
So what's the order again, Edzo, that disappear at the end of your career? Your hands, your feet, your legs, or your wife?
No. Your hands are the last thing to go.
Hands, okay. And the wife?
I mean, for you, it was your looks.
You're a good man, Edzo. Thanks for doing this.
Love you guys.
Thanks, Edzo. Appreciate it.
Eddie Olchuk.
What a guy.
Former teammate.
Yeah.
Fun guy.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was awesome. I was just... The Ovi thing. I was watching... You know, really? I watched the end of the Penguins Islanders last night, and we go straight to Ken Reed and Ivanka, and I'm watching that. And they're showing the highlights and just... Everyone that goes in, I'm like, oh.
Just wincing at Ovi goals.
Like, oh, how many are we away now? It's like 56 away. I'm like, oh,
it, no, 56. The number's getting
Jesus.
There were some games you watched this year, you would never have thought 8 goals in 8 games would ever be in
possible.
In a formula moving forward in his career.
You know,
like he's been slow at times,
yeah.
But can still shoot it in the net.
Well, and that's the thing, is that shot, like the other day he scores one off the faceoff, which he scored. Everyone talks about his one-timer.
Yeah.
His off the faceoff wrist shot goals, he's got to have, I don't know, at least 70 of
where them. He just catches it in traffic and it's in the back of the
in
net.
In traffic.
Before
and you're like, yo, how did he even get that off? Yeah. And it's, the goalie's still looking through traffic.
Yeah. So he's going to finish with what? 27 goals? 30 goals? Yeah. Is that, is that 16?
I mean, this show is just openly. Are you on board with rooting against over here?
I don't know. I want to cheer for him. Yeah, I'm going to cheer for him. I am.
All right.
Politics aside.
Yeah, it's not even.
Come on. It's an amazing achievement of what he's done over the course of his career. Yeah. Come on.
I'll put off ice politics aside, but like as a born and bred Canadian, like I don't want a Russian guy to have it. It's like they're our biggest rival. It's always been the case. Like I've never liked Ovi for that reason. Since we killed him in the World Juniors, he was wearing that tinted visor. Never liked him. So I want him to have it. I want Gretzky to have it. That's it.
I'm okay with that. People can cheer. People can cheer against them. It's good, right? Okay, let's take a quick break. Or are we going to go to?
Let's take a break.
Okay.
Yeah. Take a quick break. Yeah.
You get it?
JB producing the show today. Like it.
Thanks.
Taking charge. All
appreciate
right. JB that. Says we're taking a break. And when we return, we're back with more Real Kipper Inborn.
Get smarter when you listen to Hockey Talk, the Hockey PDO cast with Dmitry Filipovich. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Just going to break. You remind me of my wife.
Wow, JB. I don't even know what to do with that.
No. Let me finish. because she's like, you don't check your text.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I'm like, well, like, I do, but...
Yeah.
When it's convenient.
Intermittently.
Right?
Yeah.
And my apologies to you, because as we went towards break, I didn't check any text messages, and you sent me one that said, go to break, my nose is bleeding.
Yeah.
I need to get it cauterized. Like, I need to go do the thing where they actually, like burn it in there. Because it's a daily thing. I don't have the Jake McCabe going right now. I got it out. I think I got it stopped just in time.
Well,
but I may bleed at some point.
I'm glad you pulled the tissue out of your nose right before we went back on air, or else someone's going to think I punched you in the nose.
And actually, we could have done a nice bit there. But yes, I am at risk at all times of having a bleeding nose. So
it must have been my third or fourth year at Sportsnet, and I'm on the desk, and I'm working with Bill Waters, and his nose starts bleeding. Yeah. And but like
bleeding. Yeah.
And I could see from a monitor the camera guy kind of shake a little bit to get him off the air, get the look off the air, and the whole studio was kind of in a bit of a panic.
Well, and that's the thing is I've actually said this to my wife because it happens so frequently. I was like, I don't know what'll happen, but I think I'm just going to sit here like McCabe. I'm going to have one of those big plugs in my nose and you're all just going to deal with it. It's a hockey show.
And we're still on the air. They just won't show him. And then all of a sudden, like, there's camera people and producers trying to get him a tissue. But, you know, they're under the desk trying to get him a tissue. Yeah. And all you could see is like the hand, like we were... This is like watching the Addams Family. It was like the hand. What do you call that thing?
The thing.
The thing.
Yeah, that was.
Thing.
Yeah.
And it was like trying to get him a tissue.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I should be okay. We got to make it through 20 minutes.
So I said, Wilbur, like, are you okay? He goes, Nikki, don't tell anybody this, but I just plucked a few nose hairs right before. And I'm like, Wilbur, I ain't telling a word. Your secret is safe with me.
Until
national television.
Until 2024.
What's the cutoff? 20 years?
Yeah, no, you've passed the statute of limitations.
Exactly.
You're good.
Fun times with Bill Waters.
Game time. It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, you know what I'm going through tonight. This is... If there's a Sammy pick of all Sammy picks on game time, I'm going to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Hold on, can I call it?
And the Arizona Coyotes.
Kerfoot goal.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Flex seal,
baby.
He has eight all year. He does not do a lot of the goals.
He's got one in his last five, so he's hot. That's red hot for Alex Kerfoot. It doesn't matter if he hadn't scored since he left. Tonight is the night that he scores a goal, and the number for that is not great. Plus 320, but they probably know that they're going to get some action on this because Leaf fans know that there are a few things that former Leafs like to do more than score against the team. So give me an Alex Kerfoot goal tonight for sure.
Have they not seen the Coyotes this year at all?
No, they haven't.
And then they play them again next Thursday.
Yeah, at home.
Sweet.
So
it's been a decent schedule for them.
For who?
Leafs.
Yeah, they've had a little softer pocket here for sure.
And... two more that I like for tonight. The Buffalo Sabres are in Montreal. The Buffalo Sabres should not be favored by minus 150 over anybody. Habs on home ice. Give me the Habs plus 125. And the last one is the game that's on Sportsnet 1 tonight with the Edmonton Oilers and the Boston Bruins. Oilers are pretty big favorites, minus 135. Boston coming in there plus 115. They've been on a bit of a tough stretch for them. But I don't mind the value on one of the best teams in the league at plus 115 heading in to take on the Oilers. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Beautiful.
There you go.
All right.
So,
Pittsburgh.
Pick up a little bit of the conversation we had earlier with Edzo, the Pittsburgh Penguins, as we know, heading a little south this season.
Everything's great.
Kyle Dubas met the media.
Mm.
And we've got a little sound of that.
What do you want first? About Guentzel?
No, I want us a little first here.
Okay.
Let's all put our loafers on in Kyle Dubas' shoes and ask us, okay, why do I want to speak to the media today? And your answer is?
Noise. Quiet the noise.
Quiet the noise. See, I'm the opposite. You just made it louder.
Yeah, that is like putting out a fire with kerosene.
Yeah, like I don't understand.
That's the logic though, right?
Like, why you would go and meet the media.
And he did it so little here in his final year.
But isn't this... fine. Like, don't we want this more from general managers to come out and talk about their teams? And...
Yeah, selfishly.
Yeah, so selfishly, 100%.
Then grab what we can and then beat them over the head with it.
It's an entertainment product, after all.
Did you?
Okay. Nobody has an answer, then why Kyle Dubas
would
want to go
answer.
Lose 4-5 and then meet the media?
No.
Okay, because I can't figure it out.
I think last night was tough. I think, you know, they lose a game to a team that's directly in front of them in the standings where they have a chance to, you know, win a game in regulation. Well, they didn't have the chance to win the game in regulation, but if you beat them in regulation last night, you get a little closer to a playoff spot. You can kind of sell some hope a little bit more.
That's in Pittsburgh last night.
And they come back, make a valiant effort after we were talking about how they were done, and they come back, score two goals, they lose in overtime. I just think that the way that team is constituted, he took, like, this offseason was a win-now offseason for them, right? Where it's like, you think about all the moves they made. Mm-hmm. It was a win-now, we're going to win.
They traded for Erik Karlsson.
Yeah, they signed Ryan Graves that long contract.
Yeah, that's
they
right,
bring
too.
In, they bring in Riley Smith. They signed
Achari, Cookie.
Yeah, they bring in they re-signed Tristan Jarry to that long deal. Like, I think there's just a lot of win-now moves, and you're not winning now. And I think last night was a big spot.
Okay, so now we've got our answer. Why he met the media?
To me, that's why.
Because he needs to backpedal.
I 100% think so.
Backpedal on those moves?
Yeah.
Or just justify what's happening?
No, there's no justifying it. You're losing.
Yeah.
You're not justifying anything. What you're saying basically is my plan A sucked, and now I've got to come up with a plan B. And
okay.
The first one was preaching patience, and we're going to try to win now.
Also, I think there is some measure of preparing the fans for what's coming. I think maybe a bit of a decision gets made last night where you're going, if we're not going to be able to win, then we're going to have to sell some guys, and maybe the fan base should know that we're a little hesitant.
Don't talk about playoffs.
Playoffs. They're 8 points out of a playoff spot.
Yeah.
Playoffs.
Okay, what do you have for us?
Did you see the report yesterday from our competitor that they're listening on all non-core players? Okay? So that got brought up to him today at the press conference, and this was his answer. I think it's clip two, Derek.
Yeah, I didn't see the exact verbiage or wording of it. I had another GM mention it to me today or ask me about it clearly. I think we've received a lot of calls on a lot of our players, especially as our team has been in the spot that it's at. My view of it, Rob, has been to, I feel like out of respect to the group here and what they've accomplished, I'm trying to be as patient as possible and give the group the time, and I've outlined that to them to show that we can really make a push and make a run at it. As we've continued to kind of stay level or drop, you know, we look up today at the standings, it's a daunting task. Is the group capable of it? Yes, I think we've shown this year that we are, but we're running out of time to show that we can do it consistently. So as we've had, you know, coming out of the All-Star break, you know, we lose 2 of 3. Last week is the same. We lose 2 of 3. The calls from teams these are really good players here. So teams are calling more and more asking, are they going to be available? And so, you know, it's my job to listen to it. But I haven't, you know, there's been no discussion about these guys are and these guys aren't available. A lot of teams are just calling and asking about a litany of our players.
So why aren't they all just available? Free Sid. Just let do it all. You're not going anywhere.
Free Sid, I love it.
You're done.
Like, did he give us the impression that, like, he's still going to be a little patient here? Is that what you got out of that?
Well, I think he is paying lip service to those players while also saying, you know, kind of being a carnival barker and drumming up business here, you know, like everyone's available, you know.
You've had 53 games. You are who you are after 53 games.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Where do you think you're going to wait a little longer?
I mean, they have a couple games in hand on the teams they're chasing. If they won them both, then all of a sudden they're 4 points out of a playoff spot. You know, could they sneak in and do what Florida did last year? They have enough playoff experience. Are they talking themselves into, you know, not giving up on a team that has playoff experience?
Verbiage or wording of it?
I don't want to accuse our good friend Kyle of fibbing. Okay.
Okay.
But who outside, like, the core is Sidney, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, Erik Karlsson. I guess he's part of the core.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of.
I don't even know what core means.
No, but that's what he said. But, like, who outside of that would people be kicking down the door for outside of Gensel, I guess? Like, is it Brian Rust, Ricard Raquel at $5 million, Riley Smith at $5 million, Jeff Carter at $3 million? Lars Eller, Drew O'Connor.
They're good players here. They're good players here, he says.
Well, then why aren't they winning? Jansen Harkins.
Maybe he's not right.
I look at this Cat Friendly page, and I'm like,
we suck.
Who are the guys that people are kicking down the door for?
Ricard Raquel, jeez.
There would be a number of teams that would want Malkin and Letang at a song.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Well, you're not suggesting that would be possible.
Anything's possible if you have the right conversation with them. And I don't understand for one second. And again, Malkin was not Kyle's signing. No. And Letang was not his signing.
Nor was Raquel. Nor was...
So you can go back and say, hey, I appreciate what Ron Hextall and Brian Burke were trying to do, but this is not my deal, and I need you to lift. No moves in trade lists.
I think it's Brian Burke who actually says that he would never go to someone who had a no trade and ask them, unless someone else signed it, he was a new GM, and then he'd have that conversation. So I think, yeah, Kyle would be able to.
What was the other one? Did he mention?
Well, it's the Gensel thing where he basically said he's traded.
You want to hear the Gensel clip?
Yeah.
That's my reading into it.
We have clip one, please, Derek, on Gensel.
You know, I understand how valuable he's been as a teammate, person in the community, contributor to helping the team win Stanley Cup and so on and so forth. So it's important. But at the same time, you know, we have to take stock of where we're at and you know, be realistic about the fact that, you know, one of the issues we have is we need to get younger. And, you know, we have a lot of guys in their 30s signed. Some of them are some of the best players in the history of the franchise. And it's tough with Jake, as I've said to him, because he's an excellent player and playing at an elite level. But, you know, we have to find a way to continue to have those solid veteran guys, but also continue to get younger at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Word salad.
Are you kidding me?
He said, be realistic about where we are. And
we need to get younger. This is the guy that went out and got Carlson 7 months ago.
This is
the guy that went and got Riley Smith.
How about Achari?
Achari,
the heavy feet.
And then you got the gall to come 7 months later and say, we need to get younger now? Seriously?
We're all looking for the guy who did this.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes no sense.
Well, yeah. No, it doesn't.
Makes no sense.
Well, he is backpedaling. You mentioned that this may be a bit of a backpedal, and I think that's what's happening. He talked about Gensel playing at an elite level right now. He's been a great contributor here. Like, yeah, that's exactly the sound. So someone's going to get Gensel. So we had Edzo on before, and he talked about Gensel's playoff numbers.
Yeah.
He's a stud.
Oh, my God, yeah. So in regular season games, he's a .93 points per game. He's a even point per game. 58 playoff games. Are you looking it up? 58 playoff games, 58 playoff points, 38 playoff goals. So he's a better playoff performer than regular season performer. And way above in terms of goals per game.
So how are you going to get younger? Because last time we checked, Pittsburgh doesn't actually have a ton of stock, right? They're not Arizona loaded up with a gazillion draft picks here.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to do this?
They don't have a lot of assets. They're old. They're missing playoffs.
6 years on your contract? Seven?
Sam and I before the show were like, you know what he should do? Is he should go back in time and not run his mouth in his press conference and just be, you know, not get fired from his old job. Because this job is harder, the one he has in Pittsburgh, considerably.
Oh, it's way, like...
Picking up Erik Karlsson was asinine.
It was stupid from the second it happened.
Yeah, everyone knew it. It was pretty universal. I was like, wow, that was aggressive. But some people were excited about it because they didn't give up that much. But it's like, yeah, but look what you got.
You got to pay him 10 schmil for...
It's a fascinating what if.
If he didn't say anything.
If that Monday press conference doesn't happen.
Die to find out what Sid would have thought of that press conference today.
So Erik Karlsson is owed $10 million from the Penguins.
What do you think Sid's thinking right now, listening to this, going like, I'm on board. Yeah, just get younger.
He's still young enough.
I'm on board and I charge $15 an hour
for
babysitting.
He's like, the Mile High City's starting to sound a lot better. I'm going to go play with my Cole Harbour buddy, Nathan MacKinnon. Free him. Just like, that's the thing about this. We're all dancing around the, retool. This is going to be scorched earth very soon.
No.
What?
Well, I just said they're not going to trade Sid. They're not that scorched earth.
But how old Sid? This is barreling towards scorched earth. So at this point, you should be listening, not just to the core players. Every single person on that team should be in play, including Sid.
You need Sid's permission to get out of bed in the morning if you're the GM of the Penguins, let alone trade him.
But you don't think Sid, they're like, hey, you want to go to Colorado? He's like, no.
I do think he's going to say no.
You do? Yeah. Kip?
I don't know. I don't know anymore. I don't. This is Sid's call. I would think Kyle would be avoiding Sid in the hallways, by the arena.
Well, yeah.
I hope he's not upstairs near the offices, because I need a full report where he is, because I'm on the other side of the building.
Like Ace Ventura walking by Mr. Schickadance with a palm frond, sliding by Sid.
It's a good thing that it's like well documented how superstitious Sid is, and like you've seen his like exact walk in every day. He walks in the exact same way. So just avoid that.
Yeah,
they're good.
You're fine.
What does Sid want to do? I'm not sure he knows yet.
Are they got the chutzpah, the temerity to ask him that in Pittsburgh?
I would be a lot closer to wanting to leave and have one more crack at winning a cup.
Bang.
At the level that I can still play at, then participate in what Kyle Dubas suggested today.
Four of the next five games the Penguins have are against non-playoff teams. They got the Canadiens, the Kraken, the Flames. I put the Flyers in there. I think they're a non-playoff team. You know, can they run together some wins and then try to make playoffs? Maybe even add?
This is like one proud organization, too. Really?
Dubas is looking to win what happened last season. He wants to show that he got the better hand of how it all played out, right?
Can I tell you, from a Leaf fan perspective, we don't get a lot of wins in this world. We truly don't. Like, we've been beaten down our whole lives with everything. This is a really, really great outcome for Leaf fans.
Nothing tests more than Schadenfreude.
It is.
So he leaves the cupboards bare here in Toronto, and then he goes and basically says the same thing in Pittsburgh.
We suck. We got to get younger.
After we trade
for Eric Carle, it's just, I'm really thrilled that he didn't go there and they just got sick and they're great. They just stink, and a lot of the reason they stink is because of him. So there.
Great.
And that's good. It's a win for Leaf fans everywhere, which is rare, so enjoy it.
Wow, your bar is so low.
I know.
It's truly
pathetic.
Yeah.
It's pathetic how low it is.
I know who I am, though.
I know who I am. Anyways, that was a solid 25-minute conversation with the Penguins.
All right. What else have we got?
We got lots of stuff. So the Vancouver Canucks finally lose a match, or three in a row for the first time all season. Archdeep Baines played his first NHL game, which is very cool.
I didn't watch the whole game, but what I saw, man, he can
move. Impact.
Yeah.
He can move. He's hard on a forecheck.
Created some good things for them.
Battles against the wall.
Really nice story from Surrey.
Awesome.
Large South Asian population there. He's representative of that community, so very cool.
And it's it works out perfectly. It's on the mentor father.
Yeah, his dad's
there. It's just that's incredible. You love it.
Really
and he cool. set up Bluger. He could have had two NHL assists in his first game. He set up Bluger in the sweet spot twice, and he just pounded it into the blocker. So
Austin Matthews scores, becomes the first player to 50 goals this year?
Absolutely. That is a lock.
In Arizona, you mentioned earlier in the show, it's not always 1,000%, right? You can't have your pedal down to the floor, but he'll have the pedal down tonight, I think. I would expect.
Yeah, it's not often that you're... Imagine being so good at hockey that you are a large favorite to score a goal in an NHL game. Yeah.
Three tonight?
I don't know. They're playing in one of those three-quarter-sized rinks, aren't they? The NTR or whatever they call it.
Just like that, 2 hours gone on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
Didn't bleed on the air.
Our thanks to Eddie Olchuk, who gets ready for the Oilers and the Bruins tonight. Bill Armstrong, general manager of Arizona Coyotes, in our first hour, we thank him as well. We thank you the most for joining us wherever you're watching and listening. If you get a chance, give us a rating and a review. We'd love to hear from you. Get your thoughts on Sammy and JB. I'm off limits.
Fair.
Have a great night, everybody.